Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. It's Ephesians chapter 5. We begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And so walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. And therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So far, the reading of God's most holy and infallible word. Verse 18 is our text, as we said, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, ever so often you come across a statement that somehow sticks in your mind, it seems forever. One of those statements that I came across not so long ago was this: that if we would grow physically at the same rate as we grow spiritually, many of us would still be in the playpen. If we would grow physically at the same rate as we grow spiritually, many of us would still be in the playpen. It's true, isn't it? Our spiritual growth is very often very slow. We are often mere infants when it comes to our faith and our love for the Lord and the love for one another. We sometimes are so lax in obeying His will and putting ourselves in living in harmony with His word. So often our littleness or immaturity as far as our spiritual life is concerned is expressed so often in our inability to get along. What we need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the seminary professors that I had, Professor Hukama, he wrote a book on the Holy Spirit, and he said, to be full with the Spirit, such fullness is the most important key to victorious Christian living and to be a radiant Christian witness in the world in which we live. And so tonight, we speak on the theme, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? First of all, we note that in our text, it's an urgent command. We should also note that to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a lifelong process. Sanctification is a lifelong process. It involves total submission to God's will as revealed in His Word. And finally, it results in victorious living. So the first thing that we note tonight is that it is an urgent command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe it's important to note that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to a people who already believe. They already believe. They're a congregation like us. In his greeting in chapter 1, for example, Paul writes to the saints. In other words, to the believers who are in Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, in order to be a saint or to be a believer, you have to be born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 9, for example, reads, "Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." You can't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ without the working, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your hearts and lives. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, you read that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You cannot confess that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior except by the Spirit who dwells in you and who recreated your heart and implanted a living faith. In verse 13 of the chapter, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into the one Spirit." Beloved, the point is, when Paul wrote this letter to these saints, these believers in Ephesus, just like you and I here at Cornerstone, they were already possessed the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so the question is not whether or not they had the Holy Spirit, whether they were born again or they were not born again. It wasn't a question of whether they were a Christian. No, the Holy Spirit already dwelt in them. They were already born again. But you see, that doesn't mean that they were full of the Holy Spirit, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you see, you can have the Holy Spirit, but you can still grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 30. You can still quench the Spirit. Quench is just another word of putting the fire out. You can resist the Spirit by not fully submitting to the will of the Spirit. And therefore the question is, are you and I filled with the Holy Spirit? Really filled? And that's not a question of that you can just ignore or shove aside, because this is a command of God. Be filled. And it's not something that you have to wait for. It's not, some say, you know, it's an emotional post-conversion kind of thing. The second baptism, some call it. No. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is a command upon which you and I should act at once. It's an urgent command. Be filled. And so in the second place, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean? I studied this expression throughout Scripture about being full of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the context shows that there are at least two different ways of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, in some instances, it is used when a believer faces a very difficult situation. That he has to perform a particular task and do something that we don't think we are able. A situation that takes an extra amount of courage or boldness. For example, in Acts 4, verse 8, we read of Peter. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said to them, and then Peter gives a speech to the Sanhedrin. And you can just try to picture that. Peter and John had healed a lame man, according to Acts 3. And at that healing of this person, Peter preached a very forceful sermon. Then according to chapter 12, they were arrested for that. And so they had to appear before the Sanhedrin, the elders, the scribes, the rulers, including the high priest Annas and Caiaphas and all those same people who had arrested Jesus and who came up with trumped charges and conspired in order to crucify Jesus. Now imagine if you and I had to stand before that kind of a crowd. I think I would have been shaken in my boots. But not Peter. Peter is bold in his speech. He is not some sweet talk or some to worm his way out of a tough situation. No, listen, in verse 10, he accuses these men of having crucified Jesus. Talk about someone stepping on someone's toes. And notice how, without shame, Peter confesses his faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Jesus they crucified, Peter said, God raised from the dead. The Christ whom you have crucified was raised from the dead. God raised from the dead. And so in front of these learned and educated religious leaders who believed that you could earn their way into heaven, Peter says, you're dead wrong. Because he says, in fact, there is no salvation in any other than the Jesus whom you have crucified. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. Now, if there is a bold sermon, it was that certainly was. Now, where did Peter get this boldness? You remember that just a few days earlier, they had hidden themselves in an upper room. They had locked the doors because they were afraid that they were going to be arrested, just like Jesus, by these same religious leaders of that day. Where did they get that boldness? Well, when you read verse 8 in chapter 4 of Acts, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, it was the Holy Spirit that gave him the boldness. You see, the Holy Spirit, for that particular occasion, gave Peter the boldness to speak. Now let me teach you just a little bit of Greek. In the New Testament Greek, the tenses of the verbs are very significant. The verb filled in this particular context in Acts 4 is what we call in the aorist tense. And the aorist tense describes a momentary, a snapshot action. In other words, the Holy Spirit filled Peter at this particular moment and in this particular situation for a very specific task which enabled him to speak boldly in front of these religious leaders. And really, that should not surprise you, because when you read in Matthew 10, verse 18 to 20, that Jesus had exactly promised this. Jesus said, "And you will be dragged," he's talking to the disciples, "and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." You see, Peter's boldness was because the Spirit of God gave him the words on what to speak. You see, I believe that this momentary filling of the Holy Spirit is still very much part of our lives today. When I go through and think about my ministry, then very often there were times that you had to face a very difficult situation. I'd get on my knees in my study before visiting this or that person and pray for the Holy Spirit. There have been occasions where I had to visit and comfort a family whose husband and son was only still a baby, whose husband died in an accident. And you ask yourself, what are you going to say? And it always amazes me that after you've earnestly prayed about it, how the Holy Spirit fills and equips you with what to say. I'm sure many of you had similar experiences. But now if we turn back to our text in Ephesians 5 verse 18, then in that particular context, the verb filled is not used in the aorist tense, but is used in the present tense. In other words, when God's word commands the saints of Ephesus and he commands us today to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it is not a filling of the Spirit for a particular situation, a particular moment or occasion. No, here the verb in the Greek is in the present tense, which suggests that we must constantly, continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like breathing. You constantly have to breathe in and out in order to stay alive. So spiritually, you too, in order to stay spiritually alive, you have to continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. We read of Jesus himself in Luke 4 verse 1, just before he went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. We read that he was filled with the Holy Spirit in his human nature. Jesus in his human nature was filled with the Holy Spirit. John 3 verse 34 says that the Spirit was given to Jesus without measure. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. In Acts 6 verse 4, the qualifications of choosing deacons was that they had to be of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Now, Stephen was one of those deacons. He is described in Acts 6, verse 5, as a man full of the faith and the Holy Spirit. Barnabas in Acts 11, verse 24, is described as a good man full of the Holy Spirit. Same is said of John the Baptist in Luke 1, verse 20, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul, the Apostle Paul in Acts 13, verse 9, also is said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, in all those passages, it was not just a momentary filling of the Holy Spirit, but it was a continuous filling. It was part of their characteristic. It was part of their character of a believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, people who knew Stephen and Barnabas and Paul and John the Baptist and the like, they were men whom they would describe as men who were full and filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if I had to give a character reference for any one of you, and if you're a true Christian, I should be able to write John or Roger or Nancy or Ann. They're men and women who are filled with the Spirit. They had a reputation. They were believers. And it was evident because they were filled in the Holy Spirit. That raises the question, of course, in the third place, how do we identify? How do you recognize someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit? In order to explain what that means to be filled with the Spirit, Paul compares it with being drunk with wine. Do not, he says, be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, to be drunk with wine is the exact opposite of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, at first, that may seem like a strange way to compare being filled with the Holy Spirit with being drunk with wine. But do you remember what happened at the first Pentecost? When the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the followers of Jesus were speaking in different languages, then the people, the crowd that were listening to them, they poked fun of them and equated the filling of the Holy Spirit with being full, that these men were full of wine. You see, when Paul spoke here of being drunk with wine, the Ephesians knew exactly what he meant. He knew what they were talking about. Because drinking was a problem then as well as today. It's not unlikely that some of these saints that he's writing to before their conversion were often drunk with wine. Drunken and immoral orgies were very much part of the pagan society in those days, I understand. Now, all of us know that drinking is very destructive. Today, and I don't know whether these are the most recent statistic, but the ones I came across was that there are 20 million alcoholics, of which 3.5 million are teenagers. And we all know what it results in. Broken homes, abuse, severed relationships, lots of pain and misery. Now, what is it that alcohol or wine or whatever beverage, alcoholic beverage is used, what does it do? It clouds your mind. It affects the faculties of a person, the functions of the body and the mind. A person under the influence of alcohol loses control over him or herself. And after a while, if he's really drunk, then he doesn't even know what he is saying or what he's doing. He says all kinds of stupid things. We only have to look at the newspaper and see how many are killed by drunken drivers because they lose the capability of driving. One of my friends whom I had catechized and who came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ while I was ministering in a particular congregation, she was killed because of a drunken driver. Paul says that this leads to debauchery. Now, don't let that eight-cylinder word scare you, because all that it means is that it leads to unrestrained, irresponsible, careless, unrational kind of life. Now, in contrast, Paul says, be filled. Continuously be filled with the Spirit. Instead of being under the influence of wine, losing control of your senses, be under the control of the Spirit. Because the Spirit does the exact opposite. The Holy Spirit gives you, sharpens your thinking. Whereas wine fogs up the brain so that you lose the ability to judge and the ability to make good decisions. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit who sharpens the intellect, who gives deeper insight into things. You see, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to submit yourself completely and do everything which is in harmony with the will of the Spirit. And the will of the Spirit, of course, is recorded in Scripture. And so to be filled with the Spirit is basically the same as having the mind of Christ. Conduct yourself as Jesus would. Some of you perhaps still remember the bracelets that many people wore at one time. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Jesus always did the perfect will of God. And the Holy Spirit leads us, teaches us to live according to the Word of God. So how do you identify and recognize a Spirit-filled believer? Well, notice. Perhaps you already noticed. This text for this evening comes right smack in the middle of all kinds of instructions. Already in chapter 4, Paul calls them to walk worthy of the calling with which they were called. Paul is saying, look, you have been chosen by God's sovereign grace. You're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Now walk as a redeemed person, worthy of your calling. And he goes on to describe what that calling is. You walk according to lowliness, gentleness, bearing with one another, loving each other, and forgiving each other, and so much more. And again, in that same chapter, chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says that if you are Spirit-filled children, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles. And again, this is followed by all kinds of instructions, what not to do and what to do. Then in chapter 5, which we read this evening, he calls them to be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And again, this is followed by all kinds of whole lists of what we should do and what we should not do. You see, you can identify, you can recognize a Spirit-filled believer if that person lives worthy of his calling. A person who prizes the fact that by God's grace he has been chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world. He's been redeemed by his blood And so therefore they no longer live like the Gentile. They do not grieve the Holy Spirit. They do not quench the Holy Spirit. They don't resist the Holy Spirit by putting their own will before God's will. But they walk within the will of God as revealed to us in Scripture. He walks in love as Christ loved him or her. He walks as a child of the light. A child who will have nothing to do with the world. In other words, a spirit-filled person is not necessarily someone who speaks in tongues or who has been rebaptized. A spiritual person is one who willingly and gladly submits himself or herself under the influence, under the control of the Holy Spirit, who lives according to the rules and the guides that are revealed to us in the Word of God. Perhaps someone may say, how can I grow spiritually and become more and more to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer is very simple. You must pray. You must pray for the Holy Spirit. You must pray to God for the Holy Spirit to fill you. Isn't that what we read in Luke 11, verse 13? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Lord's Day 45 says that God gives his grace and spirit to those who pray continually and who groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. We must ask, we must pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Secondly, to be continuously filled, you must fill yourself with the book of which the Holy Spirit is the author. In other words, Scripture. You know, before coming tonight, I said to my wife, I'm kind of nervous. You know, to proclaim God's word is an awesome task, to be true to the word, to lead a congregation in prayer. Some of you know that R.C. Sproul passed away, and his pastor, Dr. Parson, who is now the pastor at St. Andrews, wrote that R.C. Sproul said to him that he still gets nervous every time that he has to preach on Sundays. Now, here's a man who is a great communicator, and still, we need the Spirit to qualify us. So often, before I come on the pulpit, you know, and then once I get behind the pulpit, I feel, I experience the working of the Holy Spirit to say what I need to say. You see, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit so that his thoughts become your and my thoughts. His standards, your standards. And his will, your will. And finally, in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you must not forsake the assembling of God as they gather every Sunday for worship. I believe that the church is the workshop of the Holy Spirit. If you are faithful and you come every services on Sunday, Then throughout a year, you at least hear 100 sermons. If you are 50-year-old, then by that time, perhaps you have already heard 5,000 sermons. What a blessing that is, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to increase in your knowledge of the Word of God. To be reminded how God expects us to live. Out of gratitude that He has chosen us. And that Jesus saved us from sin. That He bore the wrath against your and my sin. It's here in the church. Every Sunday. That through the Word and through the sacrament we are strengthened in our faith. That's why I get a little impatient with some people who say, well, once is enough. You see, how much you have missed. How much that person has missed as being challenged and encouraged and strengthened in their faith and their love for the Lord and the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. You see, in order to live as a Spirit-filled Christian, we need prayer. We need personal devotion, study of the Bible, immersing ourselves in the Word. And we need faithful church attendance. Finally, then, being filled with the Spirit leads to a victorious life. John MacArthur, talking on the subject of the Holy Spirit, compared it to that being filled with the Spirit, he compared it to a glove. He said, a glove by and of itself is useless and powerless unless you put your hand in it. In the same way, a Christian is powerless unless he is filled with the Spirit. Scripture sometimes speaks of someone being full of joy. Or full of joy. What do we mean? We mean that the person's heart, mind, and thoughts are completely occupied with thoughts that fill him with joy. In the same way, if I am filled with the Spirit, my thoughts, my hearts, my mind should be continuously filled with the Spirit. I'm conscious of the fact that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I would not think of grieving the Holy Spirit or resisting the Holy Spirit or do anything contrary to His will. You see, when I realized that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I would not think of engaging in pornography on the internet, because that would grieve the Holy Spirit. I would not go to a movie that was violent and had all kinds of swear words and violence. Because I would be grieving the Holy Spirit, whose temple I am. You see, I will do everything possible to fight sin. And to do what the Spirit wants me to do, who dwells in me, whose temple I am. And that, beloved, leads to victorious living. When I looked up these passages that deal with being filled with the Holy Spirit and being full of the Holy Spirit, it struck me that being filled with the Spirit is always linked to some spiritual quality. Such as faith, wisdom, joy, boldness, and so forth. Those kind of qualities. That was true of Peter, we already saw. Before he stood before the Sanhedrin, he was filled with the Spirit, and he was bold, he was courageous. When speaking of the qualification of a deity, being filled with the Spirit is linked to wisdom. As we already said, a person who is under the influence of alcohol or whatever says foolish, careless things, but a person who is filled with the Spirit becomes enlightened by the wisdom that is found in the Word of God, of which the Holy Spirit is the author. And such a person makes choices and decisions which are in keeping with what God has revealed to us. And then we experience God's blessing and His approval. Stephen, it was said he was a man, as we already mentioned, he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Being full of the Spirit in that particular instant is linked to a strong, deep faith. Like Peter, he dared and had the boldness to preach a very powerful sermon in which he called the people that he was preaching to. He called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in their hearts and ears. Chapter 7, verse 41. And as they stoned him to death, after the example of Jesus himself, he prayed in behalf of his murderers, and he said, Lord, do not charge him with this sin. Such faith. That's like, you know, standing in front of a terrorist, let's say, and who has a knife held at your neck and about to behead you, then they still have to have the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked myself the question, you know, how would I stand up against that kind of situation? But I believe that the Holy Spirit would give me the boldness, the strength, to even endure that for the sake of my Savior, Jesus Christ. In Acts 5, verse 22, and being filled with the Spirit is linked with joy. And the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit brings joy and happiness. Paul indicates, and the following verses, a Spirit-filled believer speaks to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. He makes melody in his heart to the giving thanks for all things. You see, what Paul is describing there is a joyful worship. And notice that they say they speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and song. What really struck me when I read that, you know, the words, they sang, but they spoke. You see, when I say, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, and the person in front of me and the person next to me should be able to see that I really mean it. I love Jesus. He is mine. That's why you are speaking, as it were, to the person next to you and in front of you. I remember reading somewhere that a certain gathering, a preacher asked an actor to recite Psalm 23. And the actor agreed on the condition that the preacher would read the same psalm. And the actor's recitation was beautiful, and it was flawless. It was so good. And he received a lengthy applause the way he read it. The preacher's voice was rough, broken for many years of preaching, perhaps. His diction was not very polished. But when he finished, there was not a dry eye in that room. And when someone asked the actor what really made the difference, he replied, I know the psalm. But the preacher, he knows the shepherd. Big difference. You see, when you recite a psalm or sing a hymn, it should not be something mechanical, a formality. But by our singing, we speak to one another. Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the virtues that you find in Stephen and then Barnabas and Paul and John the Baptist. They were virtues that the Holy Spirit gave them. They were, and because of that, they were men of good reputation because they were full of the Spirit. And the ultimate example is Jesus himself. As I already mentioned, Jesus, when he went into that wilderness, in his human nature, he was truly human, just like us. But in his human nature, he was full of the Spirit in order to withstand the devil. And Jesus, who is God, gave the Spirit without measure to him. Jesus rendered perfect obedience. Not my will, but your will be done. Even that meant the cross in order to save you and me. May your wife, may your husband, may your children, may your grandchildren, your relatives and your friends, your neighbors, and the people that you do business with and the people that you work with, may they be able to see that you are a person filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's a command. Be filled. Ask, pray. Live according to the will as revealed to us in His Word. It means to be filled continuously, all your life long. And it should become evident in your daily walk. Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Remember this. A sermon does not end when the pastor says amen. It's just the beginning. Now you and I, we must live and put to practice the sermon that we heard, the proclamation of the Word of God. Amen. Almighty God and Father, we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that again this evening you've taught us. You've commanded us, in fact, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That the fruit of the Holy Spirit may be evident in our lives. That indeed, O Lord, those around us can see that we're Spirit-filled believers. And we show it, O Lord, in our conduct, in our behavior, in our relationships. O Heavenly Father, will you so bless each and every one of us as we face another week. Keep us from sin. In Jesus' name, amen.